Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Together, we'll send the unmessaged Ron Paul's revolution isn't a fluke, it's the future. Live free.
Okay, folks, thank you for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk. We are going to do our best to bring to you live the online town hall meeting with Gary Johnson, and we are waiting for him to come on. Right now, I do have both Kelly Mordecai and Chris on.
Sorry about that, folks. As I was saying, I have Chris and Kelly in, but I do see Gary Johnson on, so I will turn that up and I will pipe it through. Okay, trying to get some audio here.
So, if we want to get started tonight, that would be
here
true.
You go. And if you could type in the chat whether you hear this good or not, let me know.
Anything and everything. Have at it. Matthew, how are you this evening?
And how's the volume, guys?
Can
you hear that good? Chris or Kelly?
Matthew, can you hear me?
Hear you.
There you go. How are you guys?
Good. Hey,
let me check. Let me check the volume on this.
Let's see. Any?
What is it? Well, relax and don't get wild. Watch this scary thing, Johnson.
Okay, folks, I don't know what the... Oh, here we go. We see him back. How's the... how was the audio on that, Chris or Kelly?
I don't know. I hear you right now. Hold on.
Okay.
I hear nothing.
Well, that's because it's just me right now. Yeah, here you go. Let's see how this goes.
Construction company to employ over 1,000. My only real issue with the unions is that the union... has the best workers that I have ever seen. They also have the worst workers that I've ever seen. I'm supposed to accept both of them as equal. And so I can't reward the best and I can't get rid of the worst, a situation that I find unacceptable. I think that if we don't have unions, how can we expect a higher income and more jobs? A repeal of Little Davis-Bacon within the state, the repeal of Davis-Bacon, we could be building ourselves 10 miles of highway as opposed to 7 miles of highway. We could be building ourselves 4 schools instead of 3 schools. I think that would be a benefit for most Americans. as opposed to union. And I am talking now about union jobs within being used by the public sector, I think should be competitive.
This went away.
Audience question, how long will it take your administration to get a handle on the national debt? That's a question by Libby Madar. Libby, my promise is to submit a balanced budget to Congress in the year 2013. So before any administration gets a handle on the national debt, we first have to address the deficit, which currently is running at about $1.4 trillion or 43 cents on every dollar that we're spending. There are big differences between myself and Obama and Romney, and I am now talking about the other two candidates who will be on the ballot in all 50 states. So throughout the evening, I'll be referring to my opponents. And although there are other third-party candidates, no third-party candidate is going to get close to 50 states, much less achieve that. It's my understanding that the Green Party will be on the ballot in 30 states. We'll end up seeing what that is. But how long to get a handle on the national debt? First, we have to start with balancing the budget. And right now, that seems to be a moonshot. I would just suggest to you that by promising to submit a balanced budget to Congress in the year 2013, which would be a 43% reduction in federal spending, which would include Medicaid, which would include Medicare, which would include military spending, I think that that is a very, very significant, unprecedented step that we have to take first.
No, it's weird. It's vocal. It's unvocal.
I know, but
please. Audience question. Governor Johnson, what steps would you take to repeal the NDAA and H.R. 347? The National Defense Authorization Act? I would like to see that repealed. You know that the provision for arresting, detaining without being charged, that currently is being challenged in the court, and it has currently been deemed to be unconstitutional. Now, that is being appealed by the Obama administration. It is a reauthorization bill that comes up. I don't want to misspeak, but I'm believing that it has to be a reauthorization bill at a minimum of every 2 years. I would not sign the reauthorization giving the provision to arrest and detain without being charged. H.R. 347. Andrew, do you know what H.R. 347 is? I just need a little clarification on what H.R. 347 is. Secret Service arresting protesters. Well, if that gives that gives power to the Secret Service to arrest protesters, same kind of situation. These are bills that should have never been signed off on first place, regardless of how much a president would agree with the majority of the content. I think that these are the kinds of things that are deal breakers, and Secret Service arresting protesters, I would have vetoed that bill to begin with, and I would veto that bill if it contained that language going forward. You claim to be against humanitarian wars, so why did you say you would support war on the LRA? Brandon, what I'm apparently having real difficulty communicating is the notion that I don't think any of us want to sit by and watch a Holocaust happen. Now, you could argue that the Lord's Resistance Army is not a Holocaust. It was three African countries that requested our intervention. Congress did pass legislation allowing us to go in and give logistical support. I think that ahead of time I would have asked that this be, at a minimum, I would have asked that this be volunteer. I would just like to say that as President of the United States, I take this role very seriously. I don't want to see a Holocaust happen. What's the definition of a Holocaust? I would like to think that if I saw it, I would recognize it. I would also like to say that I have no intention of engaging our military in military intervention. I think as a result of our military interventions, we have hundreds of millions of enemies to this country worldwide that we would not have otherwise, but for our military intervention. How do you view the relationship between the war on drugs and illegal immigration? I think, and this is a question from Derek Henniger. Derek, I think that the root of all evil is our politicians that beat their chest and elect me, and I'm going to save you from the illegal immigrants. I'm going to save you from drugs. I'm going to save you from terrorism, poor health care. I'm going to save you from retirement where you won't have funds to put food on your table. In the name of beating one's chest and elect me and I'm going to save you, I think that's the root of all evils. In this context, our military interventions result in tens of thousands of innocent civilians dying in the countries that we militarily intervene in. And our men and service women are coming back in body bags or with their limbs blown off. And I hold the responsibility for all of that with politicians that I think at the root of their motivation is getting reelected, not doing what is right. What is your stance on the Israel-Palestinian conflict? Cole Veritas. Cole, not that going to Israel makes me an authority on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but I have been to the West Bank. I have seen the territory, and I think it's a mistake for us to tell Israel what they should or should not do. It would be like some other country telling us what we should or should not do in our own backyard. I'm opposed to foreign aid. I think the fact that we're building roads, schools, bridges, highways, and hospitals in other countries, and we have those needs here in this country, I think that that is a mistake. So I would just say that Israel can best determine its course of action regarding the problems that it has. What is your stand on American Muslims? Well, just that there are 6 million of them and that I think they've come here to pursue the American dream as everyone ultimately has come here to pursue the American dream. I did attend the American Muslim Alliance meeting at the Democratic National Convention, really giving my support to repealing the National Defense Authorization Act, which, for the most part, American Muslims, I think, are being unfairly categorized and discriminated against with regard to the National Defense Authorization Act. What is your plan to repeal the 13th Amendment in order to abolish the Fed and IRS? I have said that I would sign legislation to abolish the Federal Reserve. I think it's an inside game. I think that the fact that a treasurer prints money, gives it to the Federal Reserve gives it to the banks at 0%. Banks don't give it to us because they can buy treasuries in a closed loop. Now we're looking at QE3. Who knows what the government is going to buy back and thus artificially inflate new sets of asset classes. We can only stay tuned for all of that. I am openly, or I advocate abolishing income tax, corporate tax, and replacing it with one federal consumption tax. I am embracing the FAIR tax as that one federal consumption tax. Voting for the FAIR tax allows 6 years for repeal of the 16th Amendment, allowing for income tax in the first place. So I think that President of the United States, I think that executives, regardless of regardless of the executive that gets elected, that we're wanting to elect leaders that are going to push on these issues all the time. And as president, I would push on all these issues all the time. And I would base that on my two terms as governor of New Mexico, where I like to believe that it was all about issues, that it wasn't about politics, and that the best politics is actually addressing the problems that we do have. What is your stance on Guantanamo Bay? Please explain it in as much detail as possible. Thank you. Early on, I misspoke regarding, I didn't really misspeak, I just really miscommunicated when it came to Guantanamo Bay. I think Guantanamo Bay has become synonymous with, and I think it's become synonymous with detainment without being charged, both practices of which need to cease by the federal government. So Guantanamo Bay has come to symbolize torture, has come to symbolize detainment without being charged. That said, one practices that we deplore that Guantanamo Bay has come to symbolize need to be stopped now. Regarding Guantanamo Bay or regarding a facility offshore to house enemy combatants that are not U.S. citizens, perhaps we need a facility like Guantanamo Bay, not a Guantanamo Bay to torture, not a Guantanamo Bay to arrest, detain without being charged, but a Guantanamo Bay as a facility that I think is needed. I'm just sorry that President Obama hasn't in the airwaves explained to all of us why Guantanamo Bay is still open, if that's something that he promised. And I'm assuming along the same lines as what I'm talking about right now, bringing an end to torture, bringing an end to detainment without being charged, but that the facility itself is a facility that we need somewhere, and if we close it down in Guantanamo, we're just going to have to reopen that somewhere else. China has a monopoly on rare earth minerals used in high-tech products. What would you do to break it? I'm the free trade guy, so when it comes to free trade, I wouldn't be able to break it at all other than to open up competition perhaps here in the United States. And I can't speak authoritatively regarding what the impediments are to rare earth mineral extraction and development here in this country are. But like I say, free market. If China wants to subsidize the goods and services that it sends to the United States, so be it. We take goods and services at lower prices. I suggest to you that we all benefit from that. Who takes it on the chin from an arrangement like that? Well, ultimately, China and its citizens. And if the free market is genuinely allowed to operate, that will be something that will correct itself. What plans would you have for NASA if elected? If you take the long-term view of Earth and humans inhabiting another planet, then we need to inhabit another planet, because at some point in the way off future, the sun encompasses the Earth, and way off in the distant future, the Earth becomes uninhabitable just given the expansion of the sun. But is that, or should that happen over the next 20 or 30 years? I think the biggest threat to our being able to inhabit another planet exists right now, with the fact that we're borrowing and printing money to the tune of 43 cents out of every dollar that we're spending. I would be looking to cut NASA 43%, along with basically every other federal program, or eliminate federal programs, because if we don't engage in this process of mutual sacrifice, we're going to find, all of us are going to find ourselves with nothing. And I do believe that the result of our borrowing and spending money to the tune of 43 cents out of every dollar that we're spending is going to result in a monetary collapse. And a monetary collapse, very simply, when the dollars that we have in our pocket don't buy a thing because of the accompanying inflation that goes along with borrowing and printing money to the tune of 43 cents out of every dollar. Kimberly, how are you this evening? Can't hear you. So a question off to, go ahead. Let's see if we got another question. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on making education more affordable for college students. Well, that's Joshua. Joshua, I think the main reason why college tuitions are so high in this country is the fact that the government guarantees student loans. That but for student loans, if you were faced with a situation where you have to pay $15,000 a semester or sit out because you can't get funding or you can't get a loan to pay for the $15,000, you might opt to not go to school. If that were the case among all sorts of students, I think you would have a dramatic impact on college tuition, and that dramatic input would be a lowering of goods and services associated with higher education, something that right now they're being held immune from because of guaranteed student loans. And I am just sorry for every student today that graduates with a home mortgage without a home. What is your plan to make health care more affordable for Americans? Natalie, I think that bringing genuine free market approaches to health care is what is needed when it comes to health care. And I would just add that health care in this country, I think, is about as far removed from free market as it possibly could be. Government could be involved in blowing the lid off of supply. I know that there's talk that President Obama's healthcare plan will add 15,000 IRS agents. Well, where was legislation to expand medical schools that may have allowed for 15,000 new doctors? And I'm not a fan of government intervention in any way. I'm a fan of government taking away impediments that they have put into place to this point. In a free market approach for healthcare, I would not have health insurance to cover myself for I would not have health insurance to cover myself for ongoing medical needs. I would have health insurance to cover myself for catastrophic injury and illness, and I would pay as you go in a system that was very competitive, allowed all sorts of choices, was very competitive, and had advertised pricing. This is the future of healthcare, bringing the cost of healthcare down. The more government gets involved, the higher the costs become, the more restrictive and less choices we end up having. What is your vision for creating a strong economy and middle-class jobs in this globalized society? I really think that abolishing the IRS, eliminating income tax, and eliminating corporate tax would create tens of millions of jobs in the private sector. If that doesn't happen, I don't know what it's going to take to create tens of millions of jobs. I really think that this country is alive, that crony capitalism in this country is alive and well, and that by abolishing the IRS, by eliminating corporate tax, by eliminating income tax, I think we issue pink slips to half of Washington lobbyists, because half of Washington lobbyists are there to try and garner loopholes for their clients, who are individuals, groups, and corporations who want to buy loopholes. Both political parties sell those loopholes. Just make it a level playing field for all of us. I see manufacturing jobs flocking back to the United States given a zero corporate tax rate environment. The fair tax is revenue neutral over a very short amount of time. It's also cost neutral. So it's really the answer when it comes to exports, making our exports 23% more competitive. And as I mentioned earlier, it's really the answer. I need to get Andrew, just the screen just went off. Okay, back, sorry. I'm not sure exactly when that cut off on my part, but back to zero corporate tax rate environment, zero income tax. I think that gives us a leg up on the rest of the world. Does the fair tax reduce consumer spending? You could argue that maybe initially there would be a pullback. Let me just say that it should be cost neutral, in that the can of Coke that sells for a dollar today has arguably 23% embedded federal tax in that can of Coke. That's corporate tax. That's withholding, that's a FICA match on the part of Coca-Cola to employees. By the way, no more withholdings from your payroll check with the fair tax. The proceeds for Social Security, for Medicare, and for unemployment would come out of the proceeds of the fair tax. So what you're going to do is you're going to take that can of Coke, you're going to bleed 23% worth of tax out of that can of Coke. Coke isn't going to have to sell that can of Coke for a buck anymore to make the same profit. They'll be able to sell that can of Coke for 80 cents. Well, I suggest that Coca-Cola is a competitive industry, and where in this country we don't have competitive industry is where the government has stepped in and created an artificial monopoly. Crony capitalism, and like I say, that's alive and well. I think the fair tax kicks that in the rear end. Focusing on the current debt-based currency, what would you propose replacing it with? I mentioned earlier that I would sign legislation barring the Federal Reserve. I would also sign legislation that would repeal legal tender laws. I would sign legislation establishing competing currencies, which is how we would bring about commodity-based currency in this country, and do support that. When and where will TV ads begin airing? What will start on Wednesday are national radio ads. That starts on Wednesday. Very excited about that. At this point, we do plan on running TV ads, but at this point, not nationally. It would be in states where we might actually have a chance of winning, and I don't want to discount at all the notion of winning. I wouldn't be doing this if that opportunity didn't exist, and I think given the discontent in this country and the fact that we're going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, I just think that speaks volumes to the fact that people really do want an alternative to what I suggest are two parties that have just morphed with one another, and we end up squabbling about such little things when such big issues loom. When people say voting third party is a wasted vote, how do you respond? I think a wasted vote is voting for somebody you don't believe in. And when you vote for somebody you believe in, that's how you change this country. And there's a real opportunity here at a minimum to change this country by voting for somebody you really believe in. And I would like to think that my message is the same as that of Ron Paul's, that the fastest growing segment of American politics today is liberty and freedom. And that there is an accountability that needs to take place right now. And there's no delaying what needs to be mutual sacrifice on all of our part. So a wasted vote, vote for Romney, who says that he wants to balance the federal budget, that he wants to increase spending for the military, and he wants to hold Medicare intact. Well, that just doesn't add up. Vote for Obama, who, I got to tell you, Obama says all the right things, I think. It's just the reality. When rubber meets the road, nothing is as it was presented. How do you smoothly transition from ending the Fed to creating a competing currency system? Brandon, I really don't have the, I would not have the specific answers to that other than to say that is the notion of setting up competing currencies, is that you let the free market sort that out and that people end up having choices. And I think in a very short amount of time, you would have a currency that would be commodity-based and would supplant the current U.S. dollar. Although I'm committed to Johnson Gray, I'm wondering if Ron Paul has endorsed the ticket. Steve, Ron, I'm not expecting Ron Paul's endorsement. I'm not asking for it. I will just add, though, that he asked me for my endorsement in 2008. I readily gave that endorsement. When I dropped out of the Republican Party, I asked everyone who was going to vote for me to vote for Ron Paul. In the second debate that I appeared in, I was asked, which candidate on stage would you pick as your VP? Well, there was really no choice. It was Ron Paul. So I think Ron Paul is between a rock and a hard place with regard to RAND. I can't say that I don't appreciate the rock and the hard spot. But for all of you that have beat your head up against the wall trying to change the Republican Party, for me, coming over and becoming a libertarian, there's no more knots on my head at all. This is something that, for me, this is something coming out of the closet. I really think that libertarians are more reflective of most Americans' views than either the Republicans or the Democrats or any other party that are currently out there. Which is a higher priority for you, cutting military spending or cutting entitlement spending? Zach, I would suggest to you that they are both high priorities. You can't have one. You can't balance the budget without cutting the military and cutting entitlement spending. You just can't do it. I would just like to add that when I talk about entitlement, I'm talking about Medicaid and Medicare, not Social Security. Social Security really is a system that is imminently savable. I think there are some tweaks to Social Security, raising the retirement age, changing the escalator built into Social Security from the wage index to the inflation rate, and I think that there should be opt-in, opt-out provisions, privatizing parts of Social Security. Medicaid and Medicare, on the other hand, I think, as governor of New Mexico, I oversaw the reform of Medicaid in New Mexico. We took it from a fee-for-service model to a managed care model. We saved hundreds of millions of dollars. We set up better health care networks. At that time, I believe if the federal government would have granted the state of New Mexico 43% less money, done away with all the strings in the mandate, that I could have effectively overseen the delivery of health care to the poor, Medicaid, in New Mexico. I would apply that same template to Medicare, health care to those over 65. The federal government needs to get out of the health care delivery business completely, block grant the states a fixed amount of money that would be in line with revenue. So in this case, a 43% reduction in Medicaid and Medicare. And if you give it up to the state, 50 laboratories of innovation and best practice, I think that's exactly what you will have. I think you'll have some fabulous success that will get emulated. I think you'll also have some horrible failure that will get avoided. But 50 different states working on this model, that's the way we're going to see our way out of this. Not Washington, top down, knows best. That's what has us in the predicament that we are in. For those that fall off their chair, when you talk about a 43% reduction in Medicare, the alternative is no Medicare at all. The alternative is a government that has collapsed due to the unsustainable debt that we continue to rack up. And all you have to do is look at Russia in the late 80s when the ruble went from being worth something one day to being worth nothing the next. That's what we're looking at unless we balance the federal budget. Are you excited for your Reddit AMA tomorrow? Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to that. We've done that one other time and got a lot of great feedback. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get around to another one, but looking forward to that. What is your opinion on genetically engineered food? What would you in regards to that issue? No, I think that government has a role to protect us against individuals, groups, corporations that would do us harm. I have celiac disease, which is I'm allergic to gluten. I have a food allergy to gluten, wheat, rye, and barley. I'm reading today I've heard this and read it, that it may have to do with genetically engineered wheat. Well, at a minimum, government needs to mandate labels. The ingredients in food. Without those ingredients in food, I'm not safe. I can't consume anything with wheat, rye, or barley in it, and I have to have that knowledge to make me safe. So genetically engineered foods, I think the notion that the government require labeling, because for some that may be a health and safety issue, and then leave consumers to their choices given that information. What are your thoughts on the U.S. ADA and Lance Armstrong? Is this government overreach? Well, first of all, when I first heard about the Lance situation and heard that it was government subsidized or government-funded, I was outraged. But then I later found out that really it's not government at all, that it's the Cycling Federation itself that has authorized this governing body, meaning this group to be able to test for the presence of drugs in competitive cycling. Competitive cycling itself set this group up as the group to monitor cycling. There are just a few government funds involved, but they are not dictating at all this group that has brought these allegations against Lance and professional cycling. And I do believe that that sports needs to be free of drugs. You can certainly have a drug league if you want, but if you're going to look at the only league that you could consider to be fair, it would be a league where drugs were not allowed. So, and this is a decision, like I say, that professional cycling itself has made and have asked that governing body to look at. If you won, wouldn't Republicans in Congress just unify against you, rendering you helpless? You know, I think just the opposite. I think I'm going to make the claim that I'm more liberal than Obama. I'm going to make the claim that I'm more conservative than Romney. And I'm going to make the claim that most Americans fall in that same category, the fact that we are fiscally responsible and socially accepting. So how about the notion of coming hard at Democrats from the left? Look, repeal the Patriot Act. Let's get rid of the National Defense Authorization Act, allowing for detainment without being charged. Let's bring about marriage equality. Let's end the drug war. That's a libertarian president coming at Democrats. And then how about a libertarian president coming at Republicans to balance the federal budget? Actually get serious about spending, get serious about entitlement reform, and get serious about creating a tax system that is much more fair than the one we have today, which promotes crony capitalism. I think Republicans get confused between free market and crony capitalism. So I see it as an exciting notion. Presidents could actually unify both parties to do what they're supposed to be good at. How do you plan on getting into the general debate? How can we help besides donating? Devin, donating is a big thing. Also, I want to thank everybody that are on tonight for actually lobbying all the polling organizations to get my name in the polls. My name is appearing more and more in the polls, and that has a self-fulfilling prophecy. Just being reported in these polls is generating a lot of interest. And that's equating to support and vote. So I just ask everybody to keep on doing what they're doing. A lot of you may blog. Get on these blog sites and blog away. And from the standpoint of just honesty, addressing the issues, I will tout the website I side with tonight. For those of you that are online and haven't gone to that site, I would just ask you to get online, sidewith.com, take a 36-question quiz, and they'll pair you up with the presidential candidate most in line with your views. I think that I get a lot of mileage out of that. You plan to offer Ron Paul a cabinet position. When I ran for governor of New Mexico, if I was elected, there were no predetermined hires, none. Come apply. I'm going to try and hire the best and the brightest, and that didn't always work out, but I'd like to think that I cut short the mistakes, and that overall we were very, very successful. So if Ron Paul wants a cabinet position, he'd certainly be at the top of the list when it came to consideration, but I really don't think he's going to do that. He is 76 years old. He's retiring from politics. I can't imagine him wanting a cabinet position. But like I say, if he wants that, I'd put him at the top of the list. I think we're going to shift to an ad right now. Again, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, and we got about another 45 minutes to go. If nobody falls asleep, we'll keep after it.
I'm Gary Jenner.
Okay, folks, we will continue when it comes back. I am believing that the silence is coming from their end and not mine, and it's starting to come back in. See what I mean? There is the ad that Mr. Johnson was talking about. You can hear it in the background. I hope you're enjoying the show, and I'm guessing he will be coming on again very shortly after these ads. Let's listen to the rest of it.
Are you there? He vetoed wasteful spending 750 times, cut taxes 14 times, reduced the size of state government through better management instead of layoffs. He left the people of his state with hundreds of miles of new highways, new schools and bridges, improved state services, a balanced budget, and a $1 billion surplus, all without raising taxes a penny. He's fiscally conservative and socially cool. GQ magazine declared him the sanest man running for president and described him as absurdly honest and smart. He will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November as an alternative to Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. His name is Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson isn't the norm in politics. He's the future. Gary Johnson can fix the America the two-party system is broken. He's a handyman.
My name is Gary Johnson. Be libertarian with me for re-election. Live free. Is it in our best interest to send as many individuals to college as college for everyone? I would not pretend for one second to tell you whether or not college is for you. Is it in our best interest to send as many individuals to college? I think the more educated we are as a populace, the better we are as a populace, but those personal decisions are yours. And I would just say that if the government were not in the business of guaranteeing student loans, and if everyone that was going to college looked at that really hard and determined whether or not and what the reasons are for going to college, that if we had a combination of those two factors, government out of the guaranteed loan business, students really taking a hard look at is this really going to be the best situation for me? You had those two elements that existed, the college tuition rates would be plummeting in price, or would reach a price much lower than today. What is your position on Julian Assange and WikiLeaks? It's my belief that no one has come in harm's way as a result of WikiLeaks. I do view WikiLeaks as a messenger, and I don't want to shoot the messenger. I do believe in transparent government. I think we all benefit from transparency.
Wow.
And I don't think the findings of WikiLeaks are so surprising as they are. Just reconfirming what we've all guessed was
he's sharp,
foreign
anyway.
Policy and individual deal-making, if you will. No surprise. Transparency, good thing. Julian Assange, messenger, not to be shot. How would you and Governor Johnson end the illegal wars in Afghanistan and elsewhere? I'm assuming you're just talking to me. I advocate getting out of Afghanistan immediately, bringing the troops home. I propose immediately to eliminate all current military intervention And I am promising to submit a balanced budget to Congress in the year 2013. That will include a 43% reduction in military spending. A 43% reduction in military spending is getting out of all the conflicts that we're currently engaged in. It's reducing the military footprints by 43%. That would be the bases that we have around the world. It would be the military that we have stationed in Europe, South Korea, Japan. It would be the military in uniform. It would be the civilian support staff that goes along with them. It would be reducing nuclear warheads from 2,300 to 500. It would be research, and it would be intelligence, those being the seven components of a 43% reduction in military spending. And I would like to point out that a 43% reduction in military spending only takes us back to the year 2000, only takes us back to 2003 spending levels, not the end of the world. And I would suggest that the end of the world is the biggest threat to our national security is the fact that we're borrowing and printing money to the tune of 43 cents out of every dollar that we're spending. We constantly involve our military in interventions that result in this case, hundreds of millions of enemies to this country that but for those interventions, perhaps we would not have these enemies. What federal departments would you try to end? Yes, housing and the question is housing and urban development, education, others. I am open to the discussion on the abolishment of any federal agency whatsoever. If not abolished, then a reduction of 43%, the whole notion that this is a mutual sacrifice on everybody's part. But specifically, I am advocating housing and urban development be eliminated, education be eliminated, homeland security be eliminated. I would have never signed the bill authorizing Homeland Security. I think it's incredibly redundant. And because I would never have established Homeland Security, Transportation and Safety Administration, TSA, would never have been a federal agency under my administration. I would have left airport security to the airline, airport, municipalities, state. Is there anything that you disagree with in the U.S. Constitution? No. I understand that. I mean, there's the Constitution. There's amendments to the Constitution. I don't have any planned amendments. I wish the 17th Amendment allowing for senators to be elected as opposed to be appointed. I think you could look at that as a pivotal point in our history that was the beginning of the end, unless we correct this. And I mean, senators now that are beholden to voters as opposed to state legislatures, where if they were beholden to state legislatures, they would never be embarking on spending and borrowing and printing money like we are currently doing. Governor Johnson, what are your views on abortion? I hate to even mention my views on abortion because I so passionately believe that the woman involved is the person that has to make these decisions. And so I fundamentally believe in a woman's right to choose. When it comes to my own beliefs, mirror that of the law of the land, which I think surprises a lot of people. The law of the land is Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and that is that a woman has the right to choose. This is the law of the land currently. A woman has the right to choose up until viability of the fetus. Viability of the fetus is defined as being able to sustain the life of the fetus outside of the womb, even if by artificial means. Difficult issue that I absolutely fundamentally come down on the side of the woman involved having to make those choices. would you legalize or decriminalize marijuana? And if legalized, under what term? I've supported legalized marijuana since 1999 as governor of New Mexico. I believe that decriminalization turns its back on more than half the problem, which is the sale of marijuana, which is the fact that, okay, it's decriminalized. It's not against the law for me to own it or use it, but it is to buy it. So I just see law enforcement shifting over to the sales side of this, and we need to address the whole problem. So how do I see this unfolding? I think we're at a tipping point nationally regarding marijuana. It's on the ballot in Colorado in November to legalize marijuana, to regulate it on the ballot, regulate marijuana like alcohol. I think it's going to pass. I think when it does, I think it's going to be the first of 50 state dominoes that are going to bring about rational drug policy in this country. Let's regulate it. Let's tax. I'm not an advocate for tax, but I think this is going to be a 50-state model similar to alcohol. It's going to be 50 different states administering how we are able to buy and sell marijuana, and I look forward to all of that as a way to empty the prisons and as a way to focus law enforcement on real crime as opposed to arguably victimless nonviolent crime, and free up the court docket. With your experience in this cycle, what would you do about campaign finance reform and Citizens United? Well, I think the problems that exist right now are the problems that have existed ever since I started looking at this. And that is just transparency, 100% transparency. I don't believe in limiting campaign contribution, but I do believe in full transparency. Who is donating to who without any middle persons involved? Currently, I could receive a $1 million donation from someone who donates to the Libertarian Party, and then the Libertarian Party turns around and gives me goods and services to the tune of the $1 million that was donated. We have to see who that person was that donated the $1 million. I think the system needs to be transparent. Who's buying what? I like the notion of politicians wearing NASCAR jackets with logos on the jacket commensurate with campaign donation size. How will you handle the effects of cutting spending in regards to veterans' benefits? James, I think the only area of government that I am not advocating any reduction in whatsoever are veterans' benefits. These are commitments that were made. Veterans have gone overseas and given of themselves, and that means their lives and their health and their future, mental health and physical health. This is an obligation that there would be no cuts in. What can you do differently noticed on a national level in the next 2 months? Well, we continue to do the same thing, and I'm very proud of that. I think we put out a terrific product on a daily basis. I continue to argue that I'm not the third choice, that I'm the only choice. And I think as this moves forward over the next couple of months, we'll see if it happens, but people are going to focus on, well, is there a third choice? And I just want to point out again, there are only going to be three candidates on the ballot in all 50 states, and I'm one of those three candidates. So if there's anything that that we've learned over the last year of politics is that politics is about a 17-day cycle. How many Republicans went to the top of the heap? For a total of 17 days, I think six of them did of more people knowing what the differences are, what the issues are, and very quickly. Look, I'm the only candidate that doesn't want to bomb Iran. I'm the only candidate that would get out of Afghanistan tomorrow, bring the troops on. I'm the only candidate that would repeal the Patriot Act. I'm the only candidate that wouldn't have signed the National Defense Authorization Act. I want to end the drug war. I want to bring about marriage equality. I think it's constitutionally guaranteed. I want to balance the federal budget. I want to reform the entire federal tax system and replace it with one federal consumption tax. I think it kicks crony capitalism in the rear end. And I'm the only candidate that would sign legislation banning the Federal Reserve, repealing legal tender laws, and establishing laws to create competing currencies. I think these are big, big differences between the other two guys, and I'd like to think as this moves forward that people will give more focus on the issues than what currently seems to be the case. So we're going to another ad. No, sorry. Thank you. That was the old message. So, Governor, what are your feelings on NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, from Mike Smith? Mike, NAFTA passed, and I was governor of a state. It was my understanding that NAFTA really was a plus when it came to free trade. Since then, and I didn't vote on it, okay? It wasn't something that I did vote on. But since then, I've come to recognize that the criticism of NAFTA is that it really promoted crony capitalism, that it benefited monopolies as opposed to creating a level playing field. I'd like to think that if that were the case, I would have voted against it. But based on what I know about it, that from a pragmatic standpoint, this did promote free trade, and I do promote free trade. I want to see free trade. If this was laden with crony capitalism, I'd like to think I would have voted against it. And I hope everybody here tonight will recognize one thing, and that is I have no aversion to vetoing legislation. I may have vetoed more legislation than the other 49 governors in the country combined. I vetoed 750 bills while I was governor of New Mexico. I had thousands of line item vetoes as governor of New Mexico. Saved billions of dollars, and it saved, I think, citizens from having to spend more time and more money complying with government laws that weren't going to make us any safer or going to make us any more healthy. They were just going to be a further infringement on our civil liberty. I will tell you, I probably vetoed 8 hate crime pieces of legislation when I was governor of New Mexico. It scares me to death that the government is going to now convict me on the basis of my thought as opposed to my action, something that I was very outspoken on as governor. Wow, that would be a can of worms that I don't want to be a part of. Would you close all U.S. bases overseas? Josh, I am promising to submit that balanced budget to Congress. The bases I put under the category of military footprint. So at a minimum, I would be looking to close 43% of our bases overseas. That would be in the context of balancing the federal budget. That would be in the context of not spending more money than what we take in. That would be in the context of mutual sacrifice on the part of all of us if we're going to survive what I believe is an upcoming, at some point sooner than later, I think, monetary collapse. What is your stance on the use of drone strikes as well as their use to secretly aid wars? I don't want to sit here because I think one of the primary responsibilities of the president is to protect and defend us against those that would do us harm. I have a really hard time, though, understanding how a drone attack that takes out its target but also takes out dozens, if not more, innocent civilians men, women, and children, how that ultimately ends up benefiting us or making us safer as a country. I think that it probably ends up making us less safe because of all the enemies that we create with the unintended consequence of going after our enemies in the way that we go after them. So I wish I had a little bit better intel on exactly what these drones are going to be sent out to do with regard to a drone strike as opposed to U.S. military. Yeah, the drone, but who are we taking out and what's the collateral damage? And I hate to use the term collateral damage because I hate to put human beings in the context of collateral damage. It's a situation where if you or I were subject to that by another country coming into this country, I think we would vow ourselves to spending the rest of our lives seeking revenge against that country. The FBI announced a $1 billion facial recognition program. How do we get rid of the 1984 state? Well, it's a growing police state. It's not a diminishing police state. I just saw this announcement today. I didn't see very much detail that went along with it other than the detail that you're pointing out. So I'm going to stay tuned to what this really means. And I do get a sense, though, that it's continued 1984 and only it's 2012, 13, 14, less and less civil liberties in the name of keeping us all safe. I think this is why we fought wars, is to maintain our civil liberties, not to give them up. What is your plan to tackle the repeal of the NDAA and the Patriot Act, and are they your first move? From Rodney Benfield. Rodney, as governor of New Mexico, the thing that I was most proud of was just taking it all on. Just everything that needed to be a priority was going to be a priority. These would be in that same category, what gets moved on, what doesn't get moved on. You know, the NDAA and the Patriot Act both, and I should know this, but I hold these town halls and then I end up finding out. But these are authorizations. These are recurring authorizations. So I'm assuming that there's a couple-year time frame on each one of these for a reenactment. I would not sign them to be allowed to be reinstated. Would you stand up to Romney and Obama on Obamacare? Well, I'm the only candidate running that has not stood for government-mandated health care, putting the government in charge of health care. I'm the only one that I would never have done that, and I do believe that we do need free market approaches to health care, and that this is just another very, very fundamental difference in a long line of differences between myself and these other two guys. And I'm back to you all, and how do we vote? How do we vote in November? What changes the world? I mean, yeah, I'm in this to win, but if I don't win, more votes I get, the more chance that these issues have a chance of actually being heard. Would you let young people opt out of Social Security? Yes, Kevin, I would. I would sign off on allowing opt-out. I am advocating the fair tax, so no longer would Social Security be a deduction from your payroll check, nor would it be a match by your employer. That would come out of the proceeds of the fair tax, but you will be assigned a value with regard to Social Security. And I like the notion of being able to self-direct those funds. How can I volunteer in your campaign? GaryJohnson2012.com. We're getting a lot. I want to really be clear about this. We're getting a lot of people that want to donate their time, and that's terrific. We have an issue of resource and being able to manage you if you so are inclined to volunteer. So that is a real issue. So we really need donations. We do need your time, but maybe it's your time blogging, getting on these internet sites, and pointing out that there are alternatives to Obama and Romney. And I appreciate all those efforts. I appreciate the efforts of everybody that has called on the Presidential Debate Commission to include me in the debate. And I really appreciate everybody contacting all the polling organizations to demand that I just be in the poll. That seems fair enough. Thank you. What mechanism do you suggest to prevent judicial corruption in conjunction with private prisons? Buzzy, and it's Buzzy Mess. Buzzy, I oversaw the privatization of half the state prisons in New Mexico. When I took office, it was one of New Mexico's biggest issues. We had over 600 prisoners housed out of state. Our prisons were overcrowded, and the federal prisons were running the prisons in New Mexico. So I can say this, that on an apples-to-apples, oranges-to-oranges basis, that Wackenhut came in and basically built two new prisons and delivered the same goods and services as the private prisons for two-thirds the cost. In my opinion, that's good government. Something that I always said was that if we would adopt rational drug policy in this country and empty the prisons, it would be a lot easier to empty the private prisons than it would be the public prisons. Let's remember that the biggest opposition to Prop 19, the legalization of marijuana in California, the last election cycle, the biggest opposition to that was the public prison unions of California. So I think that it is a logical conclusion that somehow private corporations that are running prisons, that that's a wrong notion. But I will tell you from my vantage point as governor of New Mexico, it was anything but that. There was no lobbying whatsoever on the part of stiffer prison sentences. And like I say, a lot easier to shut down the private prisons than to shut down the public prisons. How do you feel about the UN? I am proposing that balanced budget in the year 2013. So the notion of the UN, the notion that we would diplomatically address situations, conflicts, as opposed to getting the military involved, that's a good notion in my opinion. So at this point, my 2013 budget would be a 43% reduction in United Nations funding. When will a candidate step up and speak out for atheists? Separation of church, please. Well, I hope I'm that candidate. I hope, Andrew, can you please restore my screen? Sorry. I think I'm still being transmitted here. Thank you. Sorry, I think I was probably continued to be heard and seen, but went off my screen, so my apologies. Anyway, I may have slipped up a time or two, but I just don't invoke the name of God and didn't as governor of New Mexico and would not be doing that as president of the United States. But I do believe in the separation of church and state, and I think it needs to start at the top. You advocate free market solutions to environmentalism. I think the EPA comes under the heading of protecting us against corporations that would pollute. So protecting us against corporations would do us harm. I am proposing a balanced budget in the year 2013. I will be proposing a 43% reduction in EPA spending. I think 43% in many ways just wrings out the excess in these departments. And I put and back to free market solutions when it comes to environmentalism, I recognize that you and I as individuals can bring suit against polluting corporations, but that perhaps they have such bigger pockets that they never are brought to bear, that justice is never brought to bear. My own experience as governor of New Mexico, the EPA did fulfill a role that I didn't see any other entity fulfilling, and that was this notion of protecting us and being able to, as government, shut down genuine polluters that do exist. Gary, with everyone taking a hit with wages, why not the politician? I agree. I completely agree. I will be proposing a 40% reduction in the executive branch of government. And I would be proposing the same for Congress. I doubt Congress will go along with that. But I will go along with the 43% reduction in the administration. And it should be about wages. It should be across the board. And I'm the only candidate that wants the ground Air Force One for what that's worth. Would addressing the minimum wage be a high priority? If so, how would you go about it? I do think that abolishing the minimum wage would be a positive that would result in millions of new jobs. I see abolishing the minimum wage in conjunction with implementing the fair tax as a real way to bring about millions of jobs in the private sector that currently don't exist. What are your views on Agenda 21? My views on Agenda 21 are very simply that it's an assault on private property rights. And I believe that that's one of the foundations of this country. As governor of New Mexico, I did not invoke eminent domain, which would be government seizing of private property for any reason whatsoever. And in many cases, I found myself at odds with a lot of different interests. But back to fundamentals, government should not be forcing me or dictating to me what I can and can't do with the property that I own. And I think Agenda 21 really is prohibits my use of property that I might own. How would you handle Iran acquiring a nuclear weapon? Well, first of all, let's assess whether or not there's a threat or not. I would suggest that today there is no threat whatsoever. That we have a military surveillance capability to see Iran and whether or not they develop a nuclear weapon, and if, in fact, that is a threat. If we bomb Iran, in my opinion, we're going to involve ourselves in a two-year bombing maintenance program of which there will be no end. If we think they want a nuclear weapon now, let's just bomb them and see how much they want a nuclear weapon. And then China, just drawing a comparison. Did we bomb China? Did we bomb Pakistan? Did we bomb Russia? Did we bomb India? Or did we make them trading partners? And certainly in the case of China, we made them a trading partner. I would suggest that because of that, they're not a threat to the United States. Now, primary responsibility of the President of the United States, determine actual threat to this country. I don't want to misspeak, but no to military intervention, and with regard to nuclear arms, is there a real threat coming from Iran? The largest demonstration in the world in support of the United States after 9/11 was in Tehran with over a million demonstrators there in support of the United States. The Ayatollahs say they do not want to develop nuclear weapons. And we're going to bomb them. We're going to create another 100 million enemies to this country that would not exist but for our military intervention. Governor Johnson, what are your plans to move the U.S. away from dependency on oil? Steve, I'm just going to point out the obvious here. We've done it already. The oil that's been found in North Dakota, the Bakken, has oil supplies at the refineries beyond our ability to refine those products. So it's my understanding that the year 2016, we become a net exporter of energy. That would be oil. That would be gas. And all a good thing. And it's here. It's here and it's now. I think we're going to see a collapse in oil prices similar to a collapse in natural gas prices, where in the last 16, 18 months, natural gas has seen a high of plus $6, a low of minus or under $2. I think that back to bombing Iran, I think so much of the price of oil has to do with political uncertainties. Eliminate political uncertainties and come to and the recognition that so much oil right now is being produced in this country as a result of North Dakota, that we are and will be energy dependent here very shortly. How do you plan on repealing DOMA that discriminates against the LGBT community? Well, just that I would sign on to the repeal of DOMA, and you do want to elect a leader that is going to be talking about these issues. And I would like to say that I think half the discrimination that occurs against the LGBT community is in the form of tax legislation by adopting the FAIR tax, eliminating the IRS corporate tax and income tax, that perhaps half the issues of equality go away with that. But I just think that it needs to be verbalized and needs to be promoted that really this is, I do believe marriage equality is constitutional, and that the issues of the LGBT community are really issues of equality that all of us in this, all of us in this country should be allowed to enjoy. Which is safer for the economy, massive spending cuts all at once or an incremental approach? Brian, I think I think that we've shown that we are incapable of incremental approach. I suggest to you that my promises kept, which would be to submit a balanced budget to Congress in the year 2013, my promise kept that I will veto legislation where expenses exceed revenue. With those true promises kept, I contend that spending will be lower than any other scenario you could possibly come up with. Maybe that ends up to be incremental, even though they override my veto. But I would suggest to you that we've never had any incremental approach whatsoever to spending cuts, much less the massive spending cuts that we so desperately need right now. How do you get there? I'm going to suggest that with my promises kept, we get there sooner than any other way possible. What is your plan to make sure mainstream media does not manipulate American people anymore? I think the biggest impact that you can have on mainstream media right now is to vote for me and send a message that that not everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid. That there is another message out there. It's one for liberty and freedom, and I recognize myself as a spokesperson, okay? I recognize that, you know, we've had, for the most part, 2,000 people online tonight, that if given the opportunity, I think every single one of you would take advantage of the opportunity that I have. I'm being given the opportunity. I'm trying to make the most out of that, but a vote for me, and that means you going out and recruiting a couple of more votes, that's going to have a bigger impact on mainstream media than any other factor. How do you propose to promote and ensure marriage equality in all 50 states? Well, I think that by saying, so I believe that it's a guarantee on par with civil rights of the 60s. So, that canceling that maybe we instigate to try and bring about a decision regarding this issue. But by saying that recognizing marriage between a man and a woman, by leaving this issue to the states, effectively you're saying that you don't want to deal with this issue at all. Would we still have segregated bathrooms in the South if civil rights were left to the states? I think maybe we would. So I think this is a constitutionally guaranteed right and would drive the court to make that ruling. I would certainly support the legislation to make that happen. I've not seen much on your transportation policies, trains, planes, and automobiles. What's the plan? You know, if there's a plan, it's just to not have a plan. And I know, I hope that's what you're after, but look, I think the government gets in the way of free market. I think that the free market offers up genuine solutions in the most effective and efficient ways possible. And so government involved in transportation policies, for the most part, is a lot of money spent in ways that are uneconomical, look good, feel good, but aren't good. Fully support the Second Amendment, and will you defend this right in the UN? Yes, I fully support the Second Amendment, and the United Nations is considering passing legislation to infringe on our Second Amendment rights. What are we doing in the UN? This is not why we're in the UN. As governor of New Mexico in 1994, when I was running for governor of New Mexico, a cutting-edge issue was concealed carry in this country. It's not so much a cutting-edge issue anymore, but in 1995, I was able to actually sign legislation allowing for concealed carry in New Mexico, believing that it would lead to overall less gun violence, which I think has more than proven itself nationwide, given so many states that followed the earliest initiatives, New Mexico being one of those states. What are you going to do to maintain government-to-government relations with Native American tribes? I would certainly stay on par with what has been established. I do believe in Indian sovereignty, I think Indian tribes have a whole lot of opportunity that the rest of us don't, because the federal government cannot intrude in Indian affairs like they can in state affairs. You want to look at state governments as potentially having the same power as the tribes and pueblos do in this country. I think the tribes and pueblos have a lot more opportunity than states under the federal government. Let's see, this will be the last question, and I just appreciate everybody being on. I can't thank you enough. I'm the spokesperson. You're stuck with me. I'm trying to make the most out of this. I will continue to try and make the most of this. It won't be for a lack of effort or caring or passion or whatever. The stakes are too important, and that's for all of us. So let's buckle in and really go for this. Let's make a mark here. Let's tell the powers that be that we've had it. We've had it, and it's time for a change, and that is a Gary Johnson and a Jim Gray vote. But last question, what is our greatest foreign and domestic threat? I didn't plant the question, but it's the fact that we're borrowing and printing money to the tune of 43 cents out of every dollar that we're spending. We need to balance the federal budget now. That's the biggest threat to our way of life. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
My name is Gary Johnson. As a private businessman, I created a construction company with 1,000 employees. As governor, I was applauded for creating thousands of jobs. Government doesn't create jobs. People in business do. For 8 years, I did what government is supposed to do. I stayed out of the way and allowed business to create jobs that fueled our state's economic boom.
Okay,
really
it's just an ad, Robert. Let's talk.
We have to provide a level playing field and give business a reason to hire American workers again. I'll give it three great reasons. No personal income tax, no corporate income tax, no capital gains tax. Be libertarian with me this one election. Together, we will give prosperity, liberty, and peace of life change. Go back to the national nightmare we have now. Live free.
Okay, folks, so at the end of that was the ad. I've got that, and perhaps I'll play it later. However, I think we've got enough, and we've got the panel here with Chris and Kelly on here, and we have a couple more callers that I will be letting in shortly. We got about 20 minutes left, so Chris and Kelly, go ahead and tell me what your thoughts are on what we've just heard tonight.
Go, Kelly.
Me? All right. Let's see. I really like a lot of his stuff. I know, Robert, you found a quote today where he mentioned, it's in writing, that he believed the issue of pro-life, pro-choice should be in the hands of the state. And then tonight we hear this issue of homosexuality, a similar issue. The 30 states have basically said we're outlawing. We will not legally recognize homosexuality. So 30 states have already spoken. I don't know how this guy is going to get elected if he keeps his stance that he said, well, look, homosexuality, settle it in the state, fight it out, take it to the federal government, get it over with. It's like, no, you're going to lose, buddy. I mean, he's trying to attract some of the liberals from the Democratic Party that hate war. They know the war is spinning out of control. But what's going on at the same time, he's isolating, pushing away Christians. And, that's a big issue if he's going to take homosexuality to the federal level. And then he has that quote. You might want to read that quote, that pro-life, pro-choice is up to the states. He hit himself in the foot. Sorry.
I think he might have even contradicted his own quote. I hate to say, but, I've not decided on who I'm going to support yet, but one thing I've noticed is that it seems like, I did give you that quote today, but what we heard tonight, he might have very well just contradicted that quote that he gave earlier in an earlier statement about it.
Can you find that quote and read it again? Because you read it to me earlier on the telephone. And I'm like, yeah, he's got it. States' rights. But now he's flip-flopping regarding homosexual marriage.
Sure. Let me go ahead, Chris. While I'm looking for that, if you want to chime in on
go ahead, what?
On your on thirds. Well, so if you want to chime in on what you've heard tonight, while I look for the quote.
What I heard. I heard 50
what's
different
your
questions. I heard 50 different questions. The guy fielded more questions than any politician I've ever seen to date. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I actually listened to I'm just now really getting time to listen to stuff on different candidates. You know, I've been mostly collecting data and vetting three or four different candidates, just trying to get all the data, and just now really starting to get time to listen to some stuff. And I listened to a radio show of him talking, and what I found amazing was he was, like, pretty straight up. You can like him or not like him. You can like his policies or not like him. I mean, whatever. But he's not beating around the bush, except for this last thing you said you had a little bit of an issue with or confusion with. But, he pretty much, here's who I am, here's what I believe, here's what I did, here's how we handled it, boom, 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 boom. And I don't know of many, I know Newt would, but I don't know of many politicians, I know Romney would never do it, that would field 30, 40, 50 questions in a row. Hell,
right.
We still don't know who the hell Mitt Romney is. Come on.
I've got the quote here, and then after I read the quote, I do have someone on 703 that's waiting to get in into the line. So I'm going to read the quote, and then we will let 703 in to chime in, and then we'll go back to Chris and Kelly. But here's the quote. It says, this is someone's take on it. It says, Johnson believes that Roe v. Wade is extra-constitutional and has wrongfully given the government the mandate to intrude on the private lives of Americans. And here is a quote from Gary Johnson. It says, extracted from Gary Johnson's Our America Initiative site, judges should be appointed who will interpret the Constitution according to its original meaning. Any court decision that does not follow the original meaning of the Constitution should be revisited. That is particularly true of decisions such as Roe versus Wade, which have expanded the reach of the federal government into areas of society that society never envisioned in the Constitution. With the overturning of Roe versus Wade, laws regarding abortion would be decided by the individual states. And that don't sound like he really said that tonight on this, but, you know, perhaps we should get someone else's take who might have heard the whole thing. And 7-3, I'm letting you in, and if you'd like to chime in on what you've heard tonight, then go ahead.
Well, actually, Robert, I didn't get to hear too much of it, but I've been
I've been studying up on
Gary Johnson, and he seems to be a pretty standard, libertarian, which causes some problems for conservative Christian voters in the sense of having a laissez-faire attitude regarding traditional marriage and abortion and things of that nature. Under normal circumstances, I think that we would clearly shy away from libertarians as conservative voters. However, we're not talking about vetting Johnson against our values as much as we are talking about vetting Johnson against Romney and Obama. Neither Romney nor Obama are good for traditional marriage. Both of them are absolutely pro-aborts. One of them profits dramatically from pro-abortion. The other one pretty much only has a strong political stance when it comes to abortion. So in that sense, if you consider Gary Johnson a placeholder until you can mount a conservative attack, he is a far better option than either of the mainstream illegitimate candidates. Now, just to be clear, I'm not advocating for Gary Johnson. I have not decided to vote or promote him, but I think that the perspective with which we have to vet candidates at this stage of the game, with such little time left and with the illegal actions that have been going on, you've got to vet him over against Romney and Obama, not vet him strictly against your values. And I think that as a pro-life person who believes in traditional marriage, and I think that the federal government actually does have a role in regulating that, would I be comfortable voting for Gary Johnson? I would, because he is certainly far better than Romney and Obama. Now, that doesn't mean that he's the lesser of three evils. I think that he's actually creates a legislative environment where the voice of the people will actually be heard. And since we are a conservative nation, I don't doubt that it will put us on the path towards ending abortion and maintaining traditional marriage, even though that might not be his intention or his view. And then I'll throw it back to you guys.
Well, thanks, Rex. Go ahead, Kelly, and then Chris, chime in on that.
Well, one of the things that he keeps mentioning, Gary Johnson, this is totally in his favor, and I totally like about the libertarians. They absolutely love the Constitution, and they are not for any type of welfare or anything, you know, their personal values. They believe people should work. They have got an awful lot going for them on that regard. Wanting to just come in and cut the federal government by 43% is what he's talking about. I'm loving what I'm hearing. I just wish he would more clearly, definitively, and write it in stone. A lot of these social issues are states' rights issues. Now let's get down to the business of the federal government. Stop the wars. Balance the budget. Stop the Federal Reserve. He was adamant and very clear about killing the Federal Reserve, which is, by the way, August 2013. That's next year. That's next president. The Federal Reserve is up for its 100-year charter renewal. And so Romney and Obama are basically going to confirmed. The Federal Reserve, how do I know that? Well, you know, implement a central bank. That's like tenet number four of the Communist Manifesto. That's Obama. Romney said that he supports Ben Bernanke. He thinks Ben Bernanke is doing a good job. It's like, what are you talking about? Both of them are heavily funded by the following three: Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Those are the Federal Reserve types, the banksters, I call them, that group, okay? Both candidates have received funding from all three of these bankster people. And obviously Gary Johnson would just absolutely oppose these people. So we know what's going to happen with the Federal Reserve if the Obama gets reelected. Oh, and of course, the national security issues and drones and NDAA. We know where Gary Johnson is. It's very clear.
Yeah, his position. Oh, are you done? I'm sorry, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm done. That's pretty much.
Yeah, I actually have a. I have a link. Too much data coming my way. I had a link that showed Johnson and Virgil Good. Those are two of the top tier, you know, in terms of state ballot access. And I just, and don't quote me on Virgil Good exactly what he's got currently. But, you know, between write-ins and states that he's actually on the ballot in, he will be the second highest. And so those are two top tier guys. Virgil Good, you know, he's a trip. He's a cool guy. If you like social conservatives and fiscal conservative, he is pretty hardcore. You know, Gary Johnson is definitely a libertarian. When he starts the swinging point, you know, that split point, is those social issues, and it's always going to be a battle. It's been a battle nonstop in my group since we started vetting these guys, and you know, I agree with Rex on some things. I agree with what, you know, we all talk, you know, whatever. But on the fiscal issues, Good and Johnson are, and on military and foreign policy and stuff, boom, 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 boom. Now, it's the first time I heard him talk about reducing nukes. So I don't know who in the hell he's pandering to there, the freaking Dems and Libs, because I've never heard him say that before. What about that one for Kelly?
Well, there's features of the Libertarian Party that appeal to both Democrats and Republicans.
I'm just talking about the reduction in nukes. Reduction in nukes. That's the first time
I've
heard that.
They're not pandering to the Republicans on that one. There was a book many years ago, Mutually Assured Destruction, and that was Reagan's theme, too. And, you know, he ended the Cold War with that, so obviously he's not trying to appeal to the Republicans there. But he does have this central point. We got to take care of business at home. We're broke.
Sure.
I haven't heard anything like this from the Romulan
Obubu
guy.
One
of the core issues of our country, why we're having horrific inflation, is because of the Federal Reserve and the banking system and the yada, yada, yada. Gary Johnson's like, I'm going to kill this thing.
Yeah.
He's going to kill it.
He's a businessman, and he's a governor, and he has a great record as governor, and he knows how to get things done. From that perspective, there's a lot of positives. Sorry, Robert.
No, that's okay, Chris. No, that's fine. No, I was just going to state that, I mean, indeed he is the only one of the three candidates that has executive experience as a governor, which, you know, of course, you know, I like that. However, I do think that some of the things he said tonight could have very well lost him a good deal of votes. But Rex made a very good point, is of all the third-party candidates, he's the only candidate that's on all 50 states. Now, you know, we've been featuring, you know, many third-party candidates on the show, and the one who, unfortunately, we got some, looked like there might have been some communications that got mixed up yesterday, and that's why the interview didn't go through last night, and we may be setting something up again for next Sunday. But we'll have to get some communication going and bringing that back up, and I think that will be a conversation everyone here on the panel would be interested in hearing. So, but, you know, while there are some of those third candidates that I have looked at that
in a way, I do like better than Gary Johnson. One thing I'm also looking at is who can beat Obama and who can beat Romney. And at this time, I'm wondering if perhaps Gary Johnson may be, because he's on 50 ballots, the only one who can do that. However, would it be where someone would have to be on all 50 ballots in order to beat Obama and Romney? So what do you think about that, Rex? And then Chris, I want to see what Rex thinks of that, and Chris, and then Kelly.
Well, Robert, I'm not sure what the most sound strategy is. That's something that has to be looked at. I would argue that given the fact that 42 states allow write-ins, there are various rules about how that works in some of the states,
right.
But I think there are significant states. If Ron Paul were to announce that he is running as a write-in, I think that Ron Paul would win hands down. The other option for Ron Paul, and I hope he does something soon, would be to endorse Gary Johnson, in which case I think that Gary Johnson becomes the one you vote for. If we were just looking at the candidates on their own merits, who would you vote for? Well, I think as a conservative, hands down, you would vote Virgil Good.
Yep.
The issue is, I don't know that the Constitution Party and Virgil Good have the stature to actually conglomerate votes. I mean, I suspect what we're going to see is the lowest voter turnout in modern history. As of the way things look today, I suspect that the largest voting bloc would probably go to, assuming that the votes are counted accurately, would go to third-party candidates. I just don't know if any one of them would have more than one of the other two idiots, and I would suspect that Obama would actually have the majority and Romney would lose. So if there's no fixing of the Diebold machines, you're looking at a pretty split election, which will likely result it going to the House. And, of course, you know, John Boehner's in charge of the House, so who knows how that'll play out. We obviously know the man has no scruples about lying about votes, as he did at the RNC convention. But I think the important thing to note here is that Gary Johnson is a two-term governor of a state. Virgil Good was a congressman from the 5th District of the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Libertarian Party has been around a lot longer than the Constitution Party and has a better organization, although I like the platform of the Constitution Party better myself. In fact, in many ways, I like it much more than the Republican platform, the traditional Republican platform. So, which way do we go? That's, I think, what these conversations are about. And as Chris said, there's just a lot of data to process, data that we have not really been looking at because we were fighting so hard for an open convention for Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich to emerge from. So there's not much time to do it, and I just got back from my trip to Tampa yesterday, so I haven't had much opportunity to do this, but it's a lot of data to sort through. But I think at this stage of the game, before we even get to the vetting of the data, it's a matter of people shifting their focus when it comes to presidential electoral politics. You're not going to find a candidate that you agree with on most issues, and that's not the point at this moment. This is a dire and grave situation. We have an illegitimate nominee in the Republican Party and an illegitimate president in the Democratic Party. That's how you have to compare these things. If you don't compare it against that, you try to compare, I don't like his policy on Israel or his policy on abortion. Well, what the hell is the policy of the other two idiots, one of whom is likely to win? They're both absolutely terrible. So quit squabbling over those little things, because all you're doing at this stage of the game is finding a placeholder who will at least cause gridlock and allow us to mount an attack, a conservative attack or a conservative/libertarian attack, whatever it is, based on the Constitution in 2014 and 2016. So I think that people really have to shift their angles, and I think that Gary Johnson is certainly viable.
Yeah.
Let me throw something out. This is Kelly here. So are you saying that we have, within the Republicans and the Democrats, we have the worst of two illegitimates?
Yeah. Yeah. Your choice, if you're voting mainstream, is the worst of two illegitimates. Yep.
Yeah. Well, here's something about viability, and I want to make two points. Number one, Romney is afraid of Gary Johnson. He has sent his legal thugs into Iowa to discredit him on the Iowa general election. So obviously Romney is acknowledging by actions that Gary Johnson is a serious contender. Number two, I wanted to communicate. When I went to the national convention in May, it was a close-knit group of people. We can actually get something done if a bunch of us go into the Libertarian Party in 2014 convention, all right, and we get the platform where it's states' rights issues on social issues, and then let the states fight it out amongst themselves. And that way we wouldn't have homosexuality shoved down our throat at the national level. And I think there's ways that the party is, I'm not going to say it's an infant, I'm not going to say it's a toddler, it's, I want to say a teenager, about 17, 18, ready to reach adulthood. So that party is there, and yet if we actually influence that party, I think we could see 2014 and 2016 have major influence with the Tea Partiers, the conservatives and the Christians jumping in the Libertarian Party. I think we could see something that I think would be very, very powerful.
Kelly, I agree with that 100% because I think the idea of the Libertarian Party isn't so much running on, quote, libertarian principles. They're running on the Constitution. So if you if you en masse enter that party and the majority of us in that party are conservative, it will trend towards conservative as long as it remains within the constraints of the Constitution. But I would advise one thing. When it comes to discussing the issue of homosexuality, I would refrain from using the phrase shoved down our throat.
Oh, God, Rex. Okay. All right. Let me elevate this quickly.
Yes, Chris, elevate it. Elevate. Okay. Wait a minute. Maybe you shouldn't use that either, but just go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. No, I almost lost all my thoughts. I was building
Sorry,
that.
I didn't do a radio show
years.
This week, so the irreverent radio activity is just contagious.
So, indeed. Okay, here's the point.
The right intention has found its way on Bard's Logic.
something came here. Here's the thing to think about, and this is really important in all the aspects. And I agree with what Rex said. You know, we are just now. I saw you on the group today, but we are just now kind of getting into good. You know, into Virgil Good and his policies. And he's got some pretty serious platform stuff. Now, the question is how many states is he going to be on? How viable is he going to be? When the RNC starts coming after him, is his party positioned to afford that? I heard Pennsylvania, the RNC came in and did their crap on the signature stuff like they did to Newt in Virginia, and they did it to both Constitutional Party and the Libertarian Party. Can't these guys get shorter names? Anyway, you know, you don't want to say Lib Party because then you think liberal. But and the question, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think they fell off. They had to walk away because they couldn't afford to fight all the games, you know, the costs and expenses in Pennsylvania. Don't quote me on that, but one of my guys on my site said he actually saw the numbers drop for the states that they were on the ballot on. So it isn't just, do you have a great platform? It's, can you make it to the end against the RNC? There's some issues here. And Robert made a good statement, and we've heard it from Tom Holfleen. Oh, well, you know, I can get the electoral votes, you know, with what I got left. And I'm like going, oh, yeah, that's a great theory, you know, but am I betting on that theory? Because, you know, here's the facts. Third party doesn't win very often. And so if we want to win, we got to be smart. You know what
I'm
saying? And
real quick, Chris. No, we only have like 4 minutes left, unfortunately, in the show. But one thing I like to do, because people didn't get a chance to hear it really well, when it was being piped through, is the Gary Johnson ad. So it's only about 2 minutes, and we got a little bit over three minutes or so. So I'm going to play that real quick, because I think it'd be you know, a good to play it at this point in the show. So here we go.
My name is Gary Johnson. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. Myself, a Republican, and a Democrat. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Over 80% of you have stated you want a third choice, and now you have one in me. For every face carved into Mount Rushmore, there was once a man willing to put his principles before his party. Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, each one of them ran for office as an outsider, and each one of them changed America for the better. If you're ready to vote for better days in America, I'm not the third choice in 2012, I'm the only choice. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote corruption and failure back into office again. Live free.
Okay, folks.
You can
I only got 2 minutes left, so I want to thank everyone who's on the panel for calling in tonight. Thanks, Kelly, and thank you, Chris and Rex, for calling in. Thank you, everyone, in the chat, and for all those who are going to be listening to this later in the archives, thank you very much for listening to the entire show, and everyone have a good night. Take care, and we look forward to seeing you again, especially when we're going to be talking about the state authority and state sovereignty issues we'll be talking about on Thursday. But I have about a minute and a half left, and I got three folks here, so if each person wants to put about 20 seconds of closing in, go ahead.
I want to shoot real fast. One thing, on the social issues, I get what people's concerns are. Here's the thing, though. Johnson will not abuse the Constitution. He's a constitutional
guy. Amen.
That's a key thing right there. Okay, go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris, and then Rex. Kelly, then Rex. Sorry, guys. Anything else you'd like to chime in on, Kelly?
Oh, I thought Chris's turn.
No, Chris,
I just said amen to you. That's all I have to say. Amen. Gary Johnson will respect the Constitution. Amen. Done.
Okay.
There you go.
Rex.
Okay, Rex, you've got the last of the seconds.
All right. Well, basically, I would just tell everybody that they need to adjust their focus as to how they're making their decision to vote. And you need to do it on two things. One, is this candidate better than Obama and Romney for the Constitution and causing gridlock in the expansion of federal oligarchy? And number two, is the candidate themselves in a viable position, whether it be write-in, ballots, or what have you? Those are the two criteria. Let everything else go. We don't have time to squabble about those other details. You've got to shift your focus because it is a very grave situation. If Obama or Romney win, we are going to have such a time to rebuild and get out of the hole, it could take decades. So it is that dire. So shift your focus. Back to you, Robert.
Thank you very much. And we are definitely in recording time. And I guess about the last 10 seconds or so, Rex, unfortunately, the live crew didn't get a chance to hear that, but they can listen to it on the archives. And so I'd like to end the show the way I end every show. It kind of helps wind me down from the events of the evening. And that is with Aubrey Ashburn's song. And I want to thank you guys once again for spending your time tonight with us. And take care and have a good night.
Good night.
And enjoy the song.